Good job, Brooke. That was awesome. That's good stuff right there. Thank God. I love that. No power of hell, no sting of man can ever pluck me from His hand. Hallelujah. Thank God. I don't know about them poor folks that believe they can lose their salvation from one day to the next. If you're like me, you'd have to get saved at least twice daily. Am I in here by myself? I'd at least a couple times a day, I'd have to get saved. I lost it yesterday. I was going to Walmart and pick up some stuff for Mother's Day, and I stopped to pick up my cleaning down here at the cleaners, and there was y'all can be turning to the book of Ruth, but there was a gentleman in front of me, and they couldn't find his cleaning. Well, some guy came in and was in line behind me, and the young lady went to get on the phone to call her boss to find out how to find the fella's dry cleaning. Well, as she was dialing the phone, the guy behind me jumped all over that little girl. I mean, she just a little teenage girl. He was up one side of her and down the other. And I sat there and I bit my lip. And he lit into her again. And my lip come unbuttoned. I didn't cuss, but I took up for the little girl. Amen. And I was prepared to take it further. So I'd have had to get saved when I got in the truck, amen? But I didn't lose my salvation. I believe it'd be God's will we stick up for people that can't stick up for themselves, amen? Anyway, I'm glad I cannot be plucked from His hand. Somebody help me right there. Then I went to Walmart after I got lost again and stopped at Sonic to get me a chili dog. I pushed that red button and told that fellow what I wanted. He made me repeat it about 15 times. I said, dude, I'm looking at you. I could see him right through that window. I said, take 5 steps and I'll tell you what I want. You must mash the button, he said. I'm finna mash it with my truck. So I'd have got lost twice within an hour. Amen. Thank God I cannot be plucked from His hand. Amen. Whew. Again, let me say, it's still Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day, ladies. We thank God for you. Don't know what we'd do without you, and we wouldn't be here without you. Amen. Somebody said, well, my mother wasn't all that good. She brought you into the world. She entered the jaws of death to give you life. That's something. You're breathing because you had a mother. Some people, I wonder. We'll leave that one alone. Ruth chapter number 1. Ruth chapter number 1. I promised myself after Brother Mark left from, was it camp meeting or revival? When did he preach on Ruth? That was camp meeting, wasn't it? That was camp meeting. Ruth was camp meeting where he preached the entire book of Ruth. I thought I'll never preach from Ruth again, but I am tonight. Ruth chapter number 1, look with me, at verse number 1. The Bible said, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites. Did I say that right, Brother Charles? Of Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people and given them bread. Just for a few minutes tonight, I want to preach to you on the tale of 3 women. The tale of 3 women. If you know the story of the book of Ruth, Not Ruth, but Naomi, the mother-in-law, is led out of Bethlehem, Judah, which is to say the house of bread, and he leads his family into a place called Moab. Moab is my washpot. It's not a good place. It's not where the child of God should dwell or go to look for a better way of life. Brother Allen, I thought about how many times people get out of the will of God and they get out of church looking for something better. Let me say, even if you're having a hard time, it's better in the will of God. It's better in the will of God than it is in the world and out of the will of God. Are we okay with that? Now listen, a lot of people may want to say something bad about Naomi and how that she left where she was supposed to be. Let me just argue with you just for a second. Naomi did nothing wrong. Can I say that again? Naomi did nothing wrong. She simply followed her husband. I believe when Elimelech stands before God, Elimelech will answer for his wife being in a country where she had no business. I believe she was being, you ladies won't like this, but obedient. I believe she was being subject to her husband, allowing him to be the spiritual leader of the household. Now, whether you understand it or not, men, that is your place. And you're either leading in a right direction or you're leading in a wrong direction. I don't know how many times over the years I've apologized for my wife for not being the spiritual leader that I ought to be. Say amen right there. That's my job. If I lead my wife into a bad place, that's on me. If I say, honey, it's God's will that we resign and go somewhere else, hey, that's on me, not her. If I miss the will of God, hey, she's in the will of God by following her husband. Are y'all okay? I had a lady tell me one time, said, God's leading my husband to do this and that, but I'm not on the same page with him. Because I think he's missing the will of God. I said, sis, if you don't follow him, you're missing the will of God. Yeah, but what if he's wrong? I said, then you'll both be wrong. But if he's wrong, he'll be wrong and you'll be right. Not very popular preaching, but it's biblical. It's biblical. And let me just say it again. Naomi did nothing wrong. She was simply being obedient to her husband. Elimelech was the one who made the bad decision. A lot of times the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence. If we're not careful, and I'll get to the message in just a minute, I'm going to preach very short tonight. If we're not careful on our way to church on Sunday morning, we'll pass all the guys with the new bass boats and the new ski boats headed toward Lake Altoona, and we'll be a little bit jealous of them. They do not have it better than us. I'd rather be in church without a boat than have a boat and not have God in my life. Are y'all all right? Brother Aaron Hewling, we were there last week. He's a sales manager at the Phoenix boat dealership. And he had one of his customers who's a guide on Lake Guntersville take us fishing in a brand new $75,000 bass boat. I sent my wife a picture and she said, I guess you want one. I said, I'm not that stupid. $75,000 bass boat. I'm not jealous of that. I'm not jealous of that whatsoever. I've seen 33 people get saved in the last 3 weeks. $75,000 won't touch that. Amen. Hallelujah. So just let me say, be careful. Be careful. When you start going, listen, in church, in God's will, you're going to go through some struggles. You're going to go through some dry spells. And you're going to go through some hard times. That don't mean it's time to pack up and go somewhere else. Amen. Amen. Sometimes, right now, our church has been in a spirit of revival for the last couple of months, and it's been wonderful. But we may hit a dry spell. And you may hear, well, down here at Brother Swofford's, buddy, it's getting on down there. And it's dry over here, so we better go down there. No, you better stay where God puts you. Are we all right? Let me say it again. You better stay where God puts you. If you get to where you're not supposed to be, it will cost you every single time. Amen. What did it cost Elimelech? his life. They got to where they were supposed to be. They had something to eat, but she lost a husband and two sons. I'd say that's pretty tragic, wouldn't you? But I want us to look at these three women tonight, just very briefly tonight, and I'm going to show you some choices that they made. There's good choices, ladies, that you can make, and there's bad choices. In chapter number 1, in verse number 6, let's look at verse 6 and 7. And I want you to notice that Naomi chose to return. In verse number 6, the Bible said, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah." Now look up here at me just for a minute. I want to say, number one, that Naomi chose to return. The one thing standing in her way to keep her from where she was originally supposed to be was her husband. Her husband is dead. Her two sons dies. What's the first thing she decides to do? "I'm going back to the will of God. I'm going back to the will of God." Hey, it is never a bad thing to make up your mind to return. I love the old song, "Prone to Wander, God, I Feel It. Prone to Leave the God I Love." Every one of us are backsliders. Nod your little head. Every one of us backslide and get away from God. But thank God, like that prodigal son, we can make up our mind and say, "I'm going back." Brother Todd sings that song, "I'm on my way home." Amen. Thank God Naomi made a decision. And she said, "I'm going back home. I'm going back where the bread's at. I'm going back where the presence of the Lord is." Amen. I don't know, you don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever been out of church? Have you ever gotten out of church? It's different, isn't it? There is a joy that's not there, even though you're saved. There's a joy you're missing. There's a fulfillment you're missing, and there's a guilt you're carrying around. It feels good to come back to where you're supposed to be. I had a fellow tell me just here recently, I said, "Man, why don't you come back to church?" He said, "Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm embarrassed." That's the worst excuse I've ever heard for not coming back to God. "I'm afraid what everybody will think." Well, I wonder what they're thinking now. Just give that some thought. Wonder, let me say it again. Wonder what they're thinking now. Boy, it got quiet. It's never a bad idea to return. Now listen, we don't use the doctrine of eternal security as an excuse for sin. But the best of us do sin. And I'm glad we can come back to God over and over. How many of you confess the same sin more than one time? Every one of us, over and over and over. There's a couple of sins in my life that it's just my habit. I'm prone to do it. It's prone to happen. And I have to ask God to forgive me for it over and over and over again. You know what? If you'll keep coming back, one day you'll get the victory over. When I first got saved, I had a hard time with my mouth. I am my mother's son. It's hard to keep it shut when I need to keep it shut. But my problem wasn't talking so much as it was what I was saying. I had a language problem. My preacher used to say when he got saved, his cusser quit. Mine didn't. Mine didn't. I had to work on it. It was part of my vocabulary. I worked on a construction job every day, and I'd go to God every day. "Lord, I'm sorry. God, I did it again." You ever get tired of confessing that sin? And you think, "Why am I even doing this? God's tired of hearing it." No, He's not. As long as we're sorry and remorseful for our sin, God forgives us for our sin. And if we keep trying, sooner or later, we'll get the victory over that sin. Amen. I ain't cussed in a long time. This way. They have went through here. Amen. Honesty just tears y'all up, don't it? Naomi chose to return. But then her daughter-in-law, she buried her husband, and then she buried her two sons. She had two daughter-in-laws. One name was Orpha, one name was Ruth. The one named Orpha, look at verse number 8. Verse number 8. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house, The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Verse number 9, the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, now I want you to notice she's talking to both girls. She's talking to Orpha and to Ruth. And what she's doing is urging them, they're Moabite women. They're Gentiles. She is urging them to stay in their land. Now I want you to get this. She's trying to talk them in to staying put. And they said unto her, surely in verse number 10, we'll return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that ye may that may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. I said, and with these three women, Naomi chose to return, to go back where it was that she was supposed to be. I know you're in church tonight, and this is probably the diehard crowd that are in church on Sunday night, on Mother's Day. But a lot of times we can be away from God and be the most faithful church member in the place. Amen. I want to encourage somebody to return to God where you're supposed to be, in your heart, not just in your physical body. So Naomi chose to return, but then Orpha, the daughter-in-law, she chose to retreat. She chose to go back. She chose, back is never a good idea. She chose to go back to her old way of life. She married into a Jewish family. I would say that over the course, it doesn't say how long they were married. It doesn't say how long her husband lived. But anyway, she became accustomed to their custom. By marrying into that family, she became one of them. But after just a little encouragement to go back, she took the encouragement and went back. Have you ever got to the place in your Christian life where you literally thought it ain't worth it? I've had it up to here. I don't know if I can take any more. I had it better off before I got saved. I've had people tell me that. I didn't have it this bad before I got saved. Well, the devil wasn't bothering you before you got saved. You were his. You got saved, you belong to God, and the devil's going to fight you every step of the way. Let me just say something to you. There is nothing to go back to. Amen. You might get out there and fool around with some of your sin and enjoy it for a little bit, but that ain't going to last long. That ain't going to last long. You're going to be miserable. There's nothing to go back to. Orpha said, she kissed her mother-in-law and said, okay, I'll stay back here. I'll stay back here. Listen, there's an old song our kids used to sing, I don't want to go back to the world. And I'm trying to remember the words after that. But anyway, it says, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. But yet, even though we have no desire to go back, isn't there something always pulling? Isn't there something always pulling? Now, I'll be honest with you, I told my wife I wasn't that stupid to want a $75,000 boat. Before I got right with God and surrendered to preach, a boat was my life. I fished a bass tournament somewhere just about every weekend. I wanted with all my heart to do that for a living. I truly, truly did. And had not God intervened, I probably would have. And don't laugh, they some of them boys just in sponsorship making over $500,000 a year. Guys I used to fish against. There's big money in it. Now I can't tell you, I'd be lying if I told you, first thing that guy said, you want to drive? Brother Aaron had told him about my boats I used to have and how I used to fish. He said, you want to drive? I said, yeah. I'm scooting across the lake in a $75,000 boat. It's got sonar and graphs on it the size of 19-inch televisions. I mean, that thing is awesome. I can't tell you that there wasn't a tug. This guy is sponsored by Phoenix. He gets a new boat every year. They give it to him. Boyd Duckett Fishing Rod sponsors him. They're $175 a piece. I said, how do you get these rods? He said, I just go to the warehouse, tell them what I want. I said, well, you tell them you broke seven today and I'll take these home. Amen. I can't tell you that there wasn't a little bit of my past reaching out from the back and saying, hey, what would it have been like? Can you imagine if you'd have just kept on? Hey, you'd be doing what this guy's doing. Yeah, but I wouldn't be happy. There's nothing back there to go back to. Listen, I love catching fish. I enjoy it. We caught 30 keepers. Man, we had a great time. But not one of them compared to one of them young people back there getting saved. Not one of them compared to one of these teenagers giving their heart to God. Hallelujah. There's nothing to go back to. Don't you ever let the world tell you, look what you could have had. Look what you could have done. Now listen. At the end of the day, won't nobody remember who won the tournament last month. All that matters is the one they're fishing now. But what we're doing is eternal. Amen? Orpha said, I'll stay. I'll retreat. I'll go back. Remember, they left. They were on their way. They were on their way to Judah. Somewhere along the trip, Orpha made the decision. Even though her mother-in-law was encouraging her, she made the decision, I'm going back. I'm going back. I told you I'd be brief tonight. Naomi returned. Orpha retreated. But watch verse number 15. And we'll be done tonight. Some of y'all don't have a heart attack. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and to her gods. Or unto her gods. She said, return thou after thy sister-in-law. Now watch this. Naomi, the mother-in-law, looks at Ruth and said, now, your sister-in-law went back. Why don't you go with her? I think it'd be best. I'm not going to have any more sons, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you go on back and go back with Orpha? She had the same opportunity that Orpha had. But I want you to watch what Ruth said. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. In other words, don't ask me to leave you. Or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Naomi chose to return. Orpha chose to retreat. Thank God Ruth chose to retain. She retained her commitment to her mother-in-law and her commitment to her mother-in-law's end, or to her mother-in-law's God. And in the end, I would say Ruth was the most blessed of all. Because of one decision in Ruth's life, because Ruth said, don't ask me to go back. Now listen, the temptation to go back is there for all of us. Whatever your past was. Are you listening? If you were an alcoholic, somebody said once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, baloney. I don't believe that. I believe the Lord can deliver you from drugs, from alcohol. Amen. But man, if you used to be a bad drinker, you go to Pizza Hut and the people sitting next to you gets an ice cold pitcher of beer, probably makes your mouth water. If you used to smoke and you've been quit for years, there's times, not probably not every time, but there's times that looks good. Thank you, mother. I got one person in here going, yep, yep. I don't care who you are, your past will tempt you to come back. But I want you to notice what happened when Ruth made up her mind, I ain't going back. She said, don't ask me to leave you. Don't ask me to follow you. She said, I'm going where you go. And your God's going to be my God. Her mother tried to get her to go back to her old God. She said, no, I like yours better. I'm going with you. Your God's better than my old God. By the way, my God's better than my old God. My capital G God's better than my old little G God. She said, don't ask me to go back. I'm going with you. Your God's going to be my God. Your people will be my people. And where you die, I'm going to die. And ain't nothing but death going to separate us. I'm going with you. I want you to notice what it pays off or how it pays off to make a decision not to go back. All three of these women made a decision. Naomi decided to return. Orpha decided to retreat. Ruth decided to retain, to keep what she had. Guess what it gets her? It gets her Boaz as a husband.
Amen.
A kinsman redeemer. But it goes beyond that. Ruth, by deciding to stay, got included in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus, when He was on the earth, say He was down there in Bethlehem or Nazareth and working in the carpenter shop and He got His iPad out and He stumbled on that Ancestry.com and He started getting them leaves. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And He going back and said, oh, so-and-so was my granddaddy and my great-granddaddy. And boy, look at there. There's David, King David in my lineage. But boy, if he'd have just kept bumping back, he'd have found this little lady, a Moabite, by the name of Ruth. I'm glad because I decided to stay. I'm in the lineage of Christ. We've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I'm in the family. I'm in the family, but Ruth's decision to retain, her decision to stay with her mother, put her in the book. Put her in the lineage of Christ. Let me tell you something. It pays to stay with Jesus. It pays to stay with Jesus. Listen, there's times in church something's going to make you mad. I left here this morning boiling. Then something just made me mad. Hacked me off. But it wasn't bad enough to keep me from coming back tonight. Whatever it is, it ain't bad enough to keep me from getting on a plane and go to preach to them people in New Mexico. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. I know it pays to serve Jesus. Amen. Somebody came to me a while back. Well, I know when it was. It was Pastor Appreciation Day. And somebody had been through some trouble and some trial with me and a while back. And I'll never forget what they said to me. And I wouldn't call your name for nothing, but they put their arm around me and they were weeping. And they said, Preacher, thank you so much that you didn't quit. I'm glad I didn't quit. When the devil gave me every reason and every excuse to quit, I'm glad I didn't quit. I'd have missed them 33 getting saved. Are you listening to me? I'd have missed what God's been doing. Hey, thank God it pays just to stay put and serve God with your life. You say, but preacher, I'm going through it. Listen, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad some of y'all have stuck around here. Stuck around here long enough to see the blessings. That's like planting a crop and moving. That's like going out by the sweat of your brow and hitching up a team of mules and plowing 40 acres of ground and putting seed in the ground, corn and tomatoes and okra and whew, I wish it'd come up fried, don't y'all? Okra and green beans and cucumbers and watermelon, planting all that stuff and saying, boy, it's too hard. It's too hard. I'm going to leave. And then somebody else enjoying the fruits of your labor.
Yes, right.
Yes, amen. I look at young pastors all across this country who are pastoring churches that were at one time pastored by great men. But for some reason, and I'm not going to question the will of God for nobody, but for some reason those men said, God wants me to move and go somewhere else. Now some young guy is reaping the rewards of that pastor's work way back yonder.
Amen.
I love it when pastors stay around a while.
Amen.
I love it, man. I get to see these little old babies. Hallelujah.
Brother Allen, can you believe? Your grandson gave me a shot of his sippy cup a while ago. Can you believe that? I remember Elena coming up on this platform. I got pictures of me and her. Where you at, Elena? She's so little, you can't find her. She's out with the baby. I got pictures in my office, me and Elena, me giving her her diploma when she graduated from kindergarten. Then I got one of me giving her her diploma when she graduated from high school. Amen. Got to be there and be a part of their wedding. Man, I'm telling you, you can't beat that. That's sticking around to see the fruits of your labor. Somebody, and I'm done preaching, I promise. Brother Todd, y'all can come on and get us a song. Hey, somebody cornered me up the other day, and they talked about how many young people been in our church and how many of them are out of church. And I said, you know what your problem is? I said, you're a negative thinker. And I started naming names. I said, what about Candace? What about Melissa? What about Ashley? What about Bibba? What about Todd? And I just went on and on and on. And they thought, you know what they said? Oh, I hadn't thought about it like that. Yeah, there's some that got out, but look how many are still in and still serving God. Hallelujah. Levi's pastoring. Cora's his wife. They grew up in our youth department. Hallelujah, man. It pays to stick around and see what God's doing. Hallelujah. Caleb's pastoring in Colorado. I mean, we could just go on and on. God's using our young people. They didn't all quit. Casey's sitting here on Mother's Day with his wife and his babies. Hallelujah. I didn't think he'd live to get past a teenager. I really didn't. Did you, Alan? I thought, no, I'll preach his funeral. I got your funeral outline. I was going to preach it when you're about 17. Amen. Hallelujah. I get to see him sitting up in here playing that guitar. Amen. Ain't God good? It pays to retain, to stay put. The tale of three women. Who's turned out the best? Ruth. Because she made a decision. Listen. She made the decision before she met Boaz. She didn't know Boaz existed. She had no idea. She didn't say, I'm going to Bethlehem, Judah, because I'm going to be in the lineage of Christ. You may not know it, Miss Mother-in-law, but I'm important. She didn't have a clue. She just made a decision, I'm going, and I'm staying with you. You say, well, I'll make a decision, I'll stay with God if he's going to do this. No, 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 no. You just make a decision, I'm going to stay with God no matter what. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Y'all go ahead and sing. God dealing with your heart, you come. The tale of three women. One chose to return. Not a bad idea. One chose to retreat. Won't never work out. One chose to retain.